I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. On Monday, President Trump's legal advisor, Rudolph Giuliani, was interviewed on Fox and Friends about Trump's former attorney, Michael Cohen, and the word collusion came up.
What I'm saying is he was never involved in intimate business relationships with Donald Trump. I mean, that's just 4 months. They're not going to be colluding about Russians, which I'm not even know if that's a crime, colluding about Russians.
Okay.
You start analyzing the crime. The hacking is the crime.
Trump later tweeted, collusion is not a crime, but that doesn't matter because there was no collusion except for crooked Hillary and the Democrats. Well, we've all been getting a legal education beginning in the 2016 presidential race and continuing with the Mueller investigation into Russian efforts to influence the election and whether there was coordination with the Trump campaign. Well, we want to know, what does collusion mean? Is it a crime? Is it not? And we asked Larry Noble to join us, former general counsel and chief ethics officer for the FEC, the Federal Election Commission. He's represented corporations and organizations and candidates in private practice, also headed up national nonprofit finance reform organizations, and he's taught campaign finance law for over 15 years, and he's a CNN contributor. Larry Noble, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Thank you for having me, Marty.
Is there an actual crime called collusion?
Not really. And this is one of those situations where a shorthand that has been used to explain several different concepts has become the problem. Because Giuliani's right. There is no specific crime of collusion. But what people are talking about with collusion are a number of different possible crimes here. For example, there's the crime of conspiracy. There is the crime of conspiracy to defraud the government. There's the campaign finance violations here, which involve possible collusion or coordination, in legal terms, coordination with the campaign and, let's say, Russia. So there are a number of different potential crimes here that we're putting under the umbrella of collusion. If the president, or if anybody's charged, a number of people have been charged
yes,
with crimes. They're not charged with illegal collusion. They're charged with the underlying basic acts and the criminal acts. So let me give you an example. In the campaign finance law, foreign nationals are prohibited from making contributions or expenditures in connection with a federal election. A contribution can be either giving cash or giving anything of value to a campaign. The campaign itself is prohibited from soliciting or accepting any foreign national contribution. If the Russians hacked DNC servers, hacked email, hacked the election, which all the evidence seems to show they did, that would be interfering with our elections, and that would be a campaign finance violation. If the Trump campaign knew about it, solicited it, or accepted it, then they accepted an illegal campaign contribution from a foreign national. That acceptance of it, in a sense, is collusion. If they talk to them about it, that's collusion. But under the law, really what it is, it's an acceptance of a foreign contribution.
Well, it's funny because I'm no lawyer here. I looked up, I Googled collusion, and the synonym I got from Webster's was to conspire or to plot. And you mentioned the word conspiracy. This question of getting something of value from a foreign national, is that what makes this meeting in July 2016 at Trump Tower with some Russians so pivotal?
Yes, that's one of the things that makes it so pivotal. So if they went into this meeting with the idea that the Russians were going to give them something, information about Hillary Clinton, then they can be seen as soliciting a foreign contribution. The value of that information, the cost to the Russians of that information, would be a contribution to the Trump campaign. If the Trump campaign goes and says to them, sure, let's talk about this, and they accept any of that information, then they've accepted a foreign contribution. And I'd like to point out something here that that comes up relatively frequently with Trump when he talks about Hillary Clinton. And they say, why isn't Mueller investigating Hillary Clinton's use of a foreign national?
That was my follow-up question, but go ahead.
Yeah, so why isn't the use of, I guess it was Michael Steele, illegal? They paid for a foreign national to do an investigation. The key to that is they paid for it. There's nothing illegal about a foreign national doing paid work for a campaign as long as they're charging fair market value. Uh-huh. So if the Hillary Clinton campaign went out and hired a foreign national, or even hired a Russian to investigate Trump, that would not be illegal. Now, in the Clinton campaign, it gets a little complicated because I think there's some questions about how they reported it, because they reported the money going to a law firm, and the law firm did the hiring. But the actual hiring of a foreign national is not illegal. What's illegal is accepting something for free from a foreign national.
Well, that's such a fascinating distinction, because just to recap here, that the Clinton campaign, they hired Fusion GPS to get dirt on Donald Trump. Fusion GPS hired Steele, and he got information apparently from some Russians. But you're saying the fact that they paid for it made it legal.
That's right. So if they paid for it, it's like hiring any vendor. You know, campaigns do opposition research. Whether you think that's right or wrong, they do it. It's legal. They can hire people to do that opposition research, and they can hire a foreign national to do that opposition research. They just have to pay them. Now, if it turned out that the Clinton campaign paid less than fair market value for that, then that would be an illegal contribution. I've seen no evidence of that or allegation of it, but that would be an illegal contribution. So it is the fact that the Trump campaign may have solicited or accepted free material from the Russians, free help from the Russians. That is what makes it illegal.
What if someone, and this is just speculating here, what if someone then colludes or is conspiring with someone related to a campaign? They get the information, but they do not use it. Is that still considered to be, is that still conspiracy, even if nothing was done with that information?
Yes. So under the foreign national prohibition, it's the mere acceptance of the information, whether you use it or not. It does not matter. You can accept the information, decide that it's not worth it, or decide for political reasons you don't want to use it. It doesn't matter. The acceptance of it is what made it a contribution. Now, we're also talking about other possibilities here. The hacking of the DNC was itself illegal. If the Trump campaign conspired with the Russians to do the hacking, or supported them in doing the hacking, then you have another potential for conspiracy or, quote, collusion, but it would really be under conspiracy. So the actual use of the information doesn't matter. It's the acceptance of the information. Likewise, if the Trump campaign worked with the Russians or helped the Russians or anyway assisted in the hacking of the DNC or accepted the emails from the DNC, then even if they had never made them public, that would be illegal.
That's Larry Noble, former general counsel and chief ethics officer of the Federal Election Commission. He's currently a CNN contributor, and we called him up because we wanted to understand this word collusion that's been bandied about. You can join us. That phone number is 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. So who started using this word collusion, and do you think that was put out there to just muddy the waters?
I don't think it was, you know, actually, that's a good question. I haven't gone back and looked. I think the probably just became a shorthand. It may have come up in the press. It may have come up from pundits. Somebody, you know, along the line just said, you know, the question is whether they colluded with the Russians. And it's a valid word to use.
Sure.
It's not a legal word. So there are often things we talk about in, normally in terms of explaining things that are not actually a legal word, have no particular legal meaning, but they're used to represent legal concepts or violations of the law. So if, you know, somebody said that I took something from somebody, you know, that taking itself is not illegal, but it could be robbery. It could be burglary. And so, the collusion part, I think what it does encompass that it's good is this idea, people have this idea that colluding is something that is not good. You do it secretly. That it has generally a end to it that is not a positive end. And so it does bring in this whole concept of what the allegations are, but it's not what is in and of itself what is illegal.
But would a better word, I don't mean to be so overly semantic here, but should we just think conspiracy? I mean, that's really, that's a much more legal term and much more apt description about the allegations.
Yes, but conspiracy may be too narrow. So there are parts of this that may not actually technically fall under being a conspiracy. Or that may not even be the major part of it. So again, taking the foreign national contribution, the acceptance of a foreign national contribution, there can be a conspiracy element of that. If they work together to violate a federal law, then you have a conspiracy. But it's also the underlying violation of the federal law, the acceptance of the foreign national contribution, that is the core part of that violation. So conspiracy is a broad violation that basically involves when you work together with others to violate the law. But you also want to look at what that violation of the law was. interesting part is you can be guilty of conspiracy even if the actual law was not violated in the end. It's a different part of the crime, but in some ways it is too narrow to fully take in what's being looked at here.
Well, going back to this June 2016 meeting at Trump Tower, where Donald Trump Jr. and some other member, Manafort as well, and some other members of the Trump campaign met with some Russians, allegedly about adoption and the Magnitsky Act. One of the things that Donald Trump Jr. said when approached, apparently that there was some dirt on Hillary, he said, If what you said is true, I love it. Based on what you just said, is that significant?
Yes, it is significant. For one thing, it could be looked at as soliciting that information. What they should have said, what he should have said, was not interested. We're not going to meet on this, and he should have reported it to the FBI.
Right.
When you say, when you give an indication that's something you really want, that is that you're really interested in that, that could very well be a solicitation. Or can signify acceptance of the information. Now, we don't know what was actually said at that meeting. And it turns out that the story has changed over time. Originally, they said they thought it was only about adoption. I don't know that many top people from the campaign would have gone to a meeting just about adoption. And now it turns out that, no, it wasn't just about adoption. So when they said, yes, we're interested in it, if it's what we think it is, we're interested in it, yes, that is very critical. It's also critical to a potential conspiracy charge because it turns out that these people are working together. But that, I think, is in a sense, a smoking gun. I mean, it is them saying, yes, we want this. If this is what we think it is, you know, if this is about Hillary Clinton, we want this. And then remember, it was around that time that then candidate Trump said they were going to have a big, I think that was the one where they said they're going to have a big announcement coming up.
Yes, it did.
And then after that, it also turned out that Trump was involved in writing the statement about what happened at that meeting. So that all goes to a conspiracy element, that they're all working together. And it also could show motive. And it shows that they were trying to hide something. So all of these pieces of evidence are very important. I'm sure Mueller is looking at all of these things.
Is ignorance any defense when it comes to election law?
Well, it can change the nature of the crime, yes. So the Federal Election Campaign Act has two enforcement elements to it. One is you can be civilly prosecuted, where the FEC can look at something, investigate it, and then get a civil fine. And then if it's a knowing and willful violation, it can be referred to the Department of Justice, or the Department of Justice can pick it up on its own and prosecute it as a criminal violation. So if they could show that they did not know this was illegal, it might just be a civil violation. If, on the other hand, they knew or should have known that it was illegal, then you have a potential criminal violation. I think it's going to be very hard for them to say that they did not know that accepting something from a foreign national was illegal. That is campaign finance law 101.
When looking at this, you mentioned the Mueller investigation. Of course, the trial of Paul Manafort is taking place even as we speak. I don't want to talk about ostrich suits or python suits. I don't even know how to think about stuff like that. But is there anything that you have heard so far that in any way implicates either the Trump campaign or the president himself, or even the overall, I guess, conspiracy that the Mueller investigation is looking into?
Now, I have to caveat this by saying I haven't been sitting in on the trial, so this is just what I read in the news reports, but so far, nothing specific. And I think they're being very careful about saying this is not about Trump. But one thing everybody's talked about is whether they could get Manafort to flip and talk about Trump. So that's one thing. But the other part of it, though, is it is showing Manafort's relationship with the Russians. It is showing his dealings in that part of the world and his longtime relationships there. And I think that is important because it puts context to what's going on. Donald Trump likes to say now that he really had no dealings with Russia, but prior to the election, his son said they had a lot of dealings with Russia. He was clearly trying to get to meet Vladimir Putin before the election when he was a businessman. Now he says he really didn't know him. And so I think it's important context to see how many people in the campaign sphere who were working for the campaign had contacts with the Russians. because the more you have contacts with the Russians, the more you show people were familiar, knew the Russians, were working with them, the more you have the opportunity for this type of thing to arise. I think that's one of the reasons that the intelligence community was very concerned when they found out that they were people within the campaign that were having contacts with the Russians, because that is where the problems could arise, and that's where you could get your conspiracies or your violations of the law. So I don't think anything specific is going to come out of the Manafort trial about that, but I think it's going to give some more context to it.
Almost out of time here. Are we in uncharted territories when it comes to election law?
I think we're in uncharted territories when it comes to our elections. In some ways, the core election law crime is a core crime, and it's happened before. People have accepted foreign national contributions. What we've never had before, where we're in uncharted territory, is a president or at that time presidential candidate having that much involvement, or the campaign having that much involvement with a foreign country. We've never seen that before, and we've also never seen a presidential candidate or a president deny it to such an extent, or deny it's even a violation. It's actually frightening that they're now at the point of saying collusion's not a crime, and we did not collude. Because now what they're going to say is that they're moving into the territory of, yeah, we may have had all these meetings, we may have talked about all this stuff, but it's not a crime. And I think it's part of this disinformation campaign. It's part of what, you know, people call gaslighting. It's this idea of constantly changing what the reality is. We have to keep our eyes on the ball that if they coordinated with the Russians, if they accepted anything from the Russians, they violated the law. If they colluded with the Russians to affect the election and to accept any help from the Russians, then they violated the law. And that's going to be the core of it. And that is unprecedented that we've had this kind of investigation.
And that's how we have to end our conversation. Larry Noble, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Diana Martinez, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Debbie Builder, John Ahrens, and Alex Stern. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Thank you for joining us.